Hey there, it's Jet Teeley, the emeritus host of the SoCal Restaurant Show and the executive chef of Pak Pao Thai in Dallas. You're listening to the very best in Food 411 on AMA 30 KLAA.
And welcome back. Sadly, it is the concluding segment of the SoCal Restaurant Show, but the better news is we're going to be right back with you next Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, our big Memorial Day weekend show, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels baseball. And the Halos are home tonight, playing the Oakland A's, looking forward to getting back into the W column. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, and it is a pleasure to welcome my co-host, Chef Andrew Gruhl, back to his show. Chef Andrew, good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Great show today.
Thank you, Chef Andrew. And always good to conclude with you. And we should mention that we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Chef Andrew, we had a dangling participle from last week that we need you to update the listening audience on. And that was we discussed that the House of Representatives the House of Representatives had passed what is called the Small Business COVID Relief Act of 2022, which the hope was to replenish the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. That when that money went out, unfortunately, in a nanosecond, it was gone, and most of the restaurants that had legitimately applied for that relief were left at the altar. It had been, in terms of the replenishment, it had been hanging. It had been passed by the House, and then it was going to move on to the Senate. What has happened in the intervening time?
Well, I alluded a little bit to this through a crystal ball.
No, you did, Chef Andrew. Credit where credit is due. You know, not good news, but go ahead.
It's not. The Senate voted 52-43 against the replenishment of the fund. And, it's really interesting because it had bipartisan support, but then it also had bipartisan rejection. You know, it wasn't like it was a party line vote. And I think the unfortunate reality is, and this is what I've been saying from the very beginning, that the restaurants and small businesses, retail, have been caught in this current, which is very political. So we're at this point now where with inflation skyrocketing, there's this general, right, very high level idea that any more money going out is only going to make the issue worse. And now look what happens. There's 178,000 restaurants that were left out on the last round. And, you know, I'd love to look at those numbers and see even if some of them, I would imagine a significant portion of them have shut down. The number of restaurants I'm seeing now that are going under, it's happening at probably the fastest clip that we've seen maybe since the first 3 months of the pandemic when, and I had mentioned this a lot in the past, you know, there was that 3 to 4 month period when everyone was figuring out what they were going to do and cash flow wasn't available for restaurants. It wasn't until those checks started coming out after the PPP debacle, 4 months after the original shutdown. There was a ton of restaurants that just got completely left in the dark in that first 3 to 4 month period. And now I think we're seeing a similar number that are falling off. So it's unfortunate.
Chef Andrew, it is. And as you're alluding to, there's still restaurants that are on the precipice right now that may not survive because in addition to, you know, all of the other dilemmas, the current dilemma of not being able to get staff both in the front of the house and the back of the house really complicates things because a restaurant needs those hours that they've had to cut back on because they don't have staff to be able to maintain the cash flow to stay in business. So, you know, you talk about the ultimate catch-22. Boy, I mean, that's real.
It really is. And what you're also, you know, it probably isn't being covered in as much detail as it should, is the effect that some of this monetary policy has been having on prices and distribution and ultimately gas prices, right? So obviously, we all know gas prices. That's always a hot topic, talking point. But gas prices affect so much more than just getting from point A to point B. Those prices are baked in through the entire supply chain from the point of distribution all the way to the end user. And then ultimately, and by end user, I mean the customer, right? And then it's kind of a full circle. So, you know, we've increased wages significantly through the pandemic in order to not just garner the right team members and really attract them, but also because there's more money out there. And I think that it was appropriate to pass some of that through to our team members. You know, I've always talked about paying a much higher wage. You get a lot more loyalty, less turnover. In the long run, it actually, ironically, it costs less. But now what's happening is that the increase in prices in both retail and gas and through the whole supply chain down to the consumer is eating up any of those wage increases that were kind of celebrated early on in the pandemic. So now it's this net loss. And then as a result of that, restaurants are increasing their prices at a clip that goes even beyond what we're projecting inflation to be at. You know, right now from our distributors, and they're kind of, frankly, and I'm not going to name names, I think there's a lot of big businesses that are consolidated that are taking advantage of the little and medium-sized businesses, and they're just saying, well, what are you going to do? You need the product, you're going to pay the price. So we're seeing increases from 40 to 70% across the supply chain when we know darn well, even if inflation's in the double digits, it's not at 50 to 70%, right? So it's a really weird dichotomy.
Chef Andrew, no kidding, and we hope to have better news to report along the way. Now, talking about something more positive, on Thursday, May the 12th, on the landmark Huntington Beach Pier, there was an outstanding in the field sustainable seafood dinner that was part of the Los Angeles Times Food Bowl. Chef Andrew, this was postponed from a year ago when there was the oil spill from the pipeline that connects supply platform to the coast. When this got the plug got pulled on this last year, very close to the actual day of the event, was there the thought at the time that they would be able to reschedule, or is that something that kind of came together later?
There was kind of a loose plan to reschedule, but we never got dates or specifics. And then it wasn't until a few months before this event that everybody said, hey, good news. We're putting the date back on the calendar and we're good to go.
And what was nice about the postponement, if you can look at it that way, is you were able to add some, you know, other headlining chefs to be part of this, not the least of which is Chris Tompkins of Broad Street Oyster Company, you know, who is a seafood fanatic, started out shucking oysters at Smorgasbord on Sundays in downtown L.A., which led to a little restaurant in Malibu that really you don't see from the street. I mean, it's hidden in the back, but it's doing more business than anybody else is. Particularly, you know, he does a pretty incredible lobster roll, Chef Andrew, that I think rivals yours, which has now begot a restaurant in Santa Barbara. And he's also going to be going soon into the historic Grand Central Market. And I believe, Chef Andrew, for Outstanding in the Field, this was actually the first time you met Chris, correct?
It is. Yep. Obviously, we travel in close circles, but it was really cool to get together and do all of this, especially in our hometown, right? Really neat.
Absolutely, you know, Huntington Beach. To tease our audience a little bit, Chef Andrew, for those of our listeners that were not part of the lucky 225 that were on the pier, tell us about your course.
Yeah, so we had we did a couple different dishes, right? So we did two different appetizers. There was we wanted to feature some vegan items, so we did a little blue corn tostada with some. We had a lot of vegetables that we had brought in from the garden locally that we've talked about in the past that we grow in conjunction with the students at Huntington Beach High School. So we did some pickled cauliflower on there. I made a little cashew cheese. So it was just kind of a tostada or a perfect texture chip. And then we made with the box crab, the local box crab that was brought in from Fisherman Craig out of OC Wild Seafood. We did some melted kind of crab pots. And then our main course, which is pretty cool, because we use sculpin, which is a local fish, very similar to like a rockfish. But sculpin doesn't have a real high quota, so you don't see sculpin in many restaurants. The quota numbers are really, really, really low. So Craig had about 3,000 pounds left to catch, and he brought that over to our restaurant. And we just crusted the sculpin with a little bit of the box crab, and we created a really cool base with the vegetables from the students at Huntington Beach High School, brought it together with a little quinoa, and it was that simple. So just this, you know, the box crab crusted sculpin, a little potato crust on there, and good to go.
Chef Andrew, a wonderful evening. We need to leave it there. We'll pick up the conversation next weekend, and look forward to a long Memorial Day. Food fans, that's our show. At the tip of the toque to my co-host, Chef Andrew Gruhl. A salute to Aaron here at Angel Stadium and Technical Excellence. Kudos also to Adam Bell on social media. Next Saturday, we're right back with a fresh show at 10 a.m., so don't miss it. We're proudly presented to you by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Doctors in the Dugout with Alan Beyer, M.D., and Jonathan Kaplan, M.D., takes the field next. Dine well and be safe.